Sidi, thank you very much for waking up early on a Tuesday morning to join us. Good morning.
Morning, Africa. It's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure to do this for you.
The speculation around cabinet reshuffle, guys, let's be serious, has been around for months now, right? I think there is a public outcry now, given developments over the last 2 to 3 weeks that really saw South Africa very distressed and very unsettled about developments in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng, where the president surely is facing pressure beyond the political dynamics within the ANC, but now the general public needs to see him to do something because the security cluster ministers failed South Africans.
Africa, it's not the first time that President Cyril Ramaphosa has felt pressure or that there's been outcry around the need for a cabinet reshuffle. A few months ago, the country was up in arms about the health minister. The digital vibes scandal also rocked the country in the middle of a pandemic, and people wanted answers, and we still have the Minister of Health, in essence, still there. He's on suspension, but there's no finality, there's no conclusion around that particular issue. South Africans are absolutely up in arms. I think that the question of national security is a scary one, is a serious one. The threat that we saw to the country, and at least what the president has been uttering himself, is the greatest threat we've experienced in our young democracy. And one would want to hear the president or see him acting beyond political considerations. And I think the clash and the difficulty now is that it feels, if you listen to insiders, that that still is a factor. The politics of the ANC remain a very much key issue in how he navigates this. And I think that's where South Africans, if you listen to people, are losing patience. They would have expected him to start his address on Sunday with, "I've made a decision to release these particular individuals." And that, of course, didn't happen. The pressure is that he is in a corner. We, as journalists, argue back and forth about when will it happen. I mean, the cabinet reshuffle conversation has been happening for so long. It's been looming for so long. But it's that finally firing the shot that's been the delay. And you hear a number of issues internally about why it can't happen now, why he needs to wait, why he needs to consult so-and-so. And that's been part of the issue where he takes ANC issues into consideration in making a move.
We'll consider the legal parameters that he has as a sitting head of state and, of course, the privilege that he enjoys in appointing and, as I say, disappointing ministers. But let's keep within the internal political dynamics of the ANC. I would have imagined that the momentum was very much in his favor right now. And if there was ever a time for him to make a kind of bold move that he absolutely wishes to make, it would be now. But clearly, he hasn't reached what he deems to be a sweet spot in order to make the kind of sweeping changes we're looking for.
I think so. I think that we know that he's consolidated power in the ANC's National Executive Committee. This is the highest decision-making body in between conferences. It is fully behind Cyril Ramaphosa at the moment. However, there are a number of dynamics to consider within the ANC in and of itself, and I think those are the issues that are hampering. And first of all, his number two, Africa, is in Russia. Didi Mabuza, the deputy president, is receiving medical attention in Russia. He's still not in the country. Secondly, there's an issue in the ANC where if you touch a particular individual, what are the ties and what is the constituency that particular individuals have? For instance, there's a conversation at times that comes up between a Pravin Gordhan versus a Gwede Mantashe. These two have clashed over particular sectors or particular departments. So the issues of ESCOM, they clash on the issues of energy. So even though one heads up state-owned enterprises and one heads up mineral resources, one wants to see something like ESCOM falling under him or SAA going to transport. So in those clashes, what the president often has to think about is, what do these different people serve? So if you look at Pravin Gordhan, for instance, big market is friendly, big business is friendly towards Pravin Gordhan, so he's a necessity in that regard. However, Gwede Mantashe comes with a constituency, so you often find that he's trying to grapple all of that. When you look at Ayanda Dzodzo, Ayanda Dzodzo, by and large, is known for a really long time, and we've all known that her back has been up against the wall, that she might be out of a job really soon. But the issue with Ayanda Dzodzo is that she represents women. She is also said to be quite close to the Deputy Secretary General of the ANC. So at every turn, there is a string that ties somebody to something. And his own personal ambitions, I must never forget to mention that President Cyril Ramaphosa also has ambitions to return. I've actually asked him, are you coming back? Are you interested in meeting the ANC again beyond 2022? Because they have an elective conference next year. And he said to me, stick around, you might see this movie again. But insiders tell you that no president wants to serve a single term. So he wants to come back. And that's part of the issue, that these people, when you move them out, they become your enemies. They join what is known as the coalition of the wounded, who start working against you and working towards making sure you don't win conference next year. So that's part of the dilemma that I understand him to be in, is what needs to happen. So Cyril Ramaphosa also needs to make decisions about, is the country more important than his own personal ambitions? Is it more important than his allies in the ANC? Is it more important than appeasing everybody? Because that's part and parcel of what we've seen him doing over the years. The beauty of being dominant at the moment is that he could finally do what he's always wanted to do. So if he puts his vision for South Africa first, Africa, then the cabinet that he wanted, a resigned cabinet that doesn't have ministers or leaders who weren't aligned to him, that doesn't appease all the different factions, he could bring that vision, you know, into play, along with the reforms he was attempting to do at Eskom and all those things that he's spoken about, the promises he's made to the country, could actually move in a particular direction if he puts South Africa first. And I think that's part of the challenge that we are seeing, is he seems to still be stuck between personal ambitions, ANC politics, and what South Africa needs.
Surely, though, as the head of state now, he has a constitutional obligation, because, once again, the mess that saw itself playing out in really not only South African media, but international media, as far as the security cluster ministers are concerned, placed the national security of this country at risk from an internal sort of threat, if you like. And the core ministers in that sector were just not playing to the same hymn song, which means they were not talking to each other. They're not making information available to each other. Surely he has a legal obligation now to move on those ministers.
I'm going to touch on that legal obligation for what I understand in just a bit. I just want to also paint a quick picture about what we understand regarding those particular ministers. Becky Cele, as you said at the beginning, he said to be an important factor. Again, that speaks to Ramaphosa's own politics and the ANC's politics. But you've got Ayanda Drodro, who heads up state security, and you have Mr. Nosiviwe Mapisa-Nqakula. You saw her disagreement in public. You saw her make a public U-turn as well. The difficulty around these two characters, who are former members of the ANC's military wing, Umkhonto and Sizwe, is that you often hear that
all right, Cedi, for some reason we seem to have lost you there mid-sentence. Janice, if we can just make sure that Cedi is still available on that line, please. Senior political journalist at EWN. Sorry, Cedi, we lost you mid-sentence there. Please continue.
Yeah, so I'm saying, so you've got this perpetual conflict in the ANC between those who went to exile, Africa, and those who didn't, the inzals versus the exiles. And what you have in this case is your two leaders were members of the MK, in Nosiviwe Mapisa-Nqakula and Ayanda Drodro. And what you're hearing from internal conversations, that they wouldn't take a line of march, really, about what actually happened in the country from people who didn't have military training. So that was part and parcel of the clash, seniority. If you listen to Nosiviwe Mapisa-Nqakula when she made a U-turn last, which she said, I'm senior enough, I'm politically mature. So she spoke to her credentials, and that's part and parcel of the conflict within, again, it goes back to the ANC, where people are pitting these ministers against the president, and they're trying to be in their ear saying, you know better, he doesn't have training, he is a commander-in-chief on paper only. So there's constantly that conflict. But in terms of what he's legally bound to do, I think if President Cyril Ramaphosa listened to the country and wasn't the person who played the long game, he would have responded to the country's cries a long time ago. We've often seen him reacting to outcries on social media quite quickly, you know, about, remember when he was wearing the army fatigues in the lead up to the lockdown last year, he responded very quickly to clarify why that was happening. So we've seen him do that. He hasn't done that. He's playing the long game in the middle of a crisis, mind you. And part of what you're hearing is we haven't had a precedent like that where he's forced to reshuffle. But what I understand, while selecting his cabinet remains his prerogative, one of the instruments that's available is trying to pass a motion of no confidence against his cabinet that forces him to try and appoint a cabinet. And for what I can see, I know that that's a hard task. That's a hard cry. I don't see ANC leaders agreeing to anything like that. I don't see anybody actually putting that on the table. I'm surprised that they haven't attempted it in terms of the opposition. But from what I gather, when you look at the odds and who this favors and the fact that there are majority in Parliament, I don't see how they would agree to the idea of passing a motion of no confidence in the cabinet that's forcing the president to make the necessary changes to his cabinet.
Yeah. Tsidi, thank you very much as always for your insights. Tsidi Madia, a senior political journalist for EWN.